Wisconsin voters on November 4 may be surprised, given all the attention on the too close to call races for governor and attorney general, but they must also decide whether to amend the state constitution. What's proposed is a so-called lockbox on the state transportation fund. To talk about that constitutional change, thanks to Craig Thompson, Executive Director of the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, and Todd Berry, President of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance. Well, I'm going to read the constitutional amendment, but before I do, can I just ask this question? Do you think most voters understand that there's a constitutional change on the ballot? Craig, what do you think?
Most? No.
Okay.
I know our group, though, has been doing everything we can to get the word out as much as we can, but
I think
the answer is no.
And I want to get into how you're making people aware in a little bit. Todd, what do you think?
I would agree, although I do think that there's been a little bit more press attention and public discussion as of late. We have put out a pro-con thing that mailed to every media outlet in the state and have it on our webpage, but yeah, it's below the radar.
Yeah, the airwaves are cluttered with TV ads. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, try to turn on your TV and not get a political ad. Well, I'm going to quickly read this and we're going to show it to our viewers. Shall the Constitution be amended to require that revenues generated by use of the state transportation system be deposited into a transportation fund administered by a Department of Transportation for the exclusive purpose of funding Wisconsin's transportation systems and to prohibit any transfers or lapses from this fund. Craig, your group played a big role in pushing this forward. Why is it needed?
Well, because, you know, beginning in 2003 and really through 2011, we had three separate state budgets where we had difficulties on the general fund side. And we opted to go in and take dollars out of the transportation fund to fill those ongoing operational expenses on the general fund side. And then we did replace a lot of that with bonds that we issued. And it did several things. It broke the trust with the public that it was a user fee-based system. Everywhere we went and we talked about needs, people said, I understand that, but I just don't believe you're going to put the money where you're supposed to. The other thing it did is it was really poor fiscal practice, and it put us in a situation where we've got debt service that we're paying out of our general fund for past budgets. There's current language in our Constitution, original language, saying that you can't bond for ongoing operations of the state. And what we did by doing those was really just find a way, an end run around that. And we bonded for the ongoing operations of the state, which is really poor fiscal practice.
Todd, does the fact that we are proposing a constitutional change, does this amount to saying we elected officials can't be trusted to do it in a more responsible way? Stop us before we raid again?
In effect, yes, I would say. because as Craig mentioned, we have gas taxes, we have various fees, registration, licensing, and so forth, and we have always considered those user charges, and they were sort of Wisconsin's version of tolls, in effect, and we were going to put them in the segregated fund and use them for transportation. So,
Okay. So we haven't done a very good job in the past of...
No.
Is it a D or R thing? Because when I interview Republicans, well, you've heard the campaign rhetoric.
Yeah.
Governor Jim Doyle, is it that clean cut, Craig?
I really don't think it is. When we first started really trying to move forward on this 4 years ago, we formed a coalition that we called the Finding Forward Coalition. And the reason we named it that is we were very specific up front. We were not interested in meeting out blame to let one side use against the other for past transfers. We simply wanted to find forward and fix this. And if you look at the membership of this group, the Vote Yes for Transportation is what it morphed into. It's over 50 statewide groups from both sides of the aisle. If you look at the votes when it went through the legislature, it was hugely bipartisan. And if you look at the top of the ticket, both Scott Walker and Mary Burke support it. So I really do think it's a bipartisan
Agree.
Issue.
Yeah.
Sin on both sides?
But timing is important here. You know, I like to joke that there's one fiscal script in Wisconsin with two roles, and all they do is change the roles when the ins become outs and the outs become ins. So, if a Republican governor had done this, you know, it'd be the same thing. To be honest, I'm surprised that somebody hasn't said, well, we need a constitutional amendment to prohibit transfers to the transportation fund, sort of the reverse of that.
Well, the amendment clearly doesn't say that. It says we're going to prohibit any transfers or lapses from. Lapses right. is a practice. Anything unspent must revert back to mm-hmm. the general fund. But let's go to the second chart here, because I really do find it intriguing. And over a 12-year period, and the source on this is the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, we're looking at six biennial budgets. And for the first three, 2003 through 2009, transfers out totaled $454.7 million. That was out. But then the last three two-year budgets, transfers in total $768.3 million. That's into the transportation fund for a net in of $313.6 million. Why do we need this if we've been getting it right the last three biennial budgets, Greg?
I wouldn't call what we've been doing getting it right.
Okay. What's a better term?
There is some money that has gone back in, most of that bonding, which, again, is not a long-term sustainable solution. And those, and the part that was general purpose revenue, that's not necessarily ongoing. I mean, that's a decision that has to be made each budget. And the thing about transportation that you need more than anything else is certainty to be able to plan long-term. And not only are we increasing our debt service and paying for past projects and past budgets, but we don't have any level of certainty where we are moving forward right now.
Take the certainty concept and apply it to school districts and counties and municipalities and university, which are the big general fund recipients. They'd like to know that the general fund tax revenues, income and sales taxes, would be there for them. And we, in effect, have been putting Band-Aids on this problem by doing general fund transfers the other way. And I know I'll drive Craig nuts by saying this, but, you know, if there's not going to be a wall between funds, then why have funds? if one governor moves it all this way and another governor moves it all this way, and it's just going to continue like that, then let's just be honest with people and put it all in one big pot and let them fight it out.
Please, Greg.
The one thing I would say to that, Todd, is if you look at the majority of the states in this country have language in their constitution dedicating user fees. Most of our neighbors do. In many of those states, they still do use general purpose revenues in addition to the user fees that don't, if they don't make up the entire amount. I wouldn't really call that a transfer. I think if you have a user fee and you use that for other purposes, I would call that a transfer. Tipping fees. If you go to the landfill and you pay a tipping fee and it's not used for recycling but for something else, I think that's a transfer out. If those tipping fees don't cover 100% of the cost for recycling and we use some general purpose revenue to fill in the rest, I think that's a completely legitimate use of general purpose revenues. That's what they are. They're general purpose revenues for the government to decide and where they'd be spent. I think it's similar if the state spends aid to a local unit of government for a specific purpose, they shouldn't be able to use it on something else. But if it doesn't cover all of it, which it generally does not, then they put property taxes on top of that. I think we're mixing apples and oranges when we say that.
But let's talk about some of the projects that are looming out there. The Zoo Freeway, the busiest in the state, $1.7 billion. Do I have that right, Craig?
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
And widening the interstate from Miller Park to the Zoo Freeway. The Hone Bridge needs repairs.
Yeah.
Legislators from Madison to the Illinois line want the interstate widened from 2 to 6. And we have to pay, I think, our share of the new bridge to Minnesota is hundreds of millions of dollars, correct? What am I forgetting in terms of our looming huge transportation needs? These are bills that have to be paid, right?
I would say yes. And we're not dissimilar to most states around the country. Those areas that you were talking about of interstate, you know, they were built in the 50s and 60s. They're at the end of their life. We're having to rebuild them. In a couple of those spots, while we're in the process of rebuilding them, we're adding another lane for a period because it's supposed to last for the next 50 or 60 years. But either way, these are generational costs, and they're large. There's no question about it.
Well, Todd, go ahead.
Well, I was going to give you something more fundamental than these big projects, and that is if you go back to the beginning of the millennium, the transportation fund, about 40% of it was going to local road aids. Now that's pushing down toward 30%. It's about 32%. Municipalities and counties can't raise property taxes by state law, mm-hmm. with some wrinkles. Mm-hmm. Their shared revenue hasn't gone up for two decades. In fact, it's gone down. And the road aid growth has been decelerating, and they're not competing in the transportation fund the way they once did. So talk about something really basic and fundamental. We are seeing at the Taxpayers Alliance, when you look at local municipal budgets, that they're maintaining their spending per person on police and fire, you know, the essentials. And what's giving way? The spending on streets is going down.
Right.
So, I mean, that's we're not talking big projects there. We're talking, you know, Elm Street.
And when I hear from what I hear from towns and counties is in western Wisconsin, we're very good. We have an abundance of frac sand, but those trucks are wearing out local roads. I'm not advocating for it. I'm just mm-hmm. saying what I hear mm-hmm. from county and city officials. Mm-hmm. So, P.S., Greg?
I just think what Todd pointed out, I would agree with 1,000%. And for all the local units of government, county highways, town roads, city, village streets, it is getting reimbursed at a lower percentage than it was 10, 20 years ago. I would argue that was another one of the detrimental impacts of taking $1.4 billion out of cash mm-hmm. and replacing it with bonding, because those bonding dollars the state can only use really at that level. And so it lessens the amount that they have available to go back to the locals, which I think, again, is one of the reasons that the Towns Association and the Counties Association are members of the Vote Yes Coalition and are pushing
but
for this amendment.
2 years, a task force recommended ways to provide some long-term funding. I think there were four options: vehicle mile travels reported, raising the cost of our driver's licenses, which are issued every 8 years, going back to indexing and raising the gas tax. Was there a fourth one that I'm forgetting, Craig?
And did you say registration fees?
No, I didn't.
Okay, and registration fees as
okay,
well.
Okay, we now pay $75 to register our vehicles. Every $10 increase generates $45 million. But no elected official pushed any of those recommendations. And as a result, we are bonding. I checked with the Fiscal Bureau in this two-year budget, borrowing mm-hmm. $991 million, which is a staggering number. Mm-hmm. So does all this explain why there is a lockbox amendment on the November 4 referendum?
I think that all feeds into it. I do. I think people are seeing both just the traveling public and businesses that rely on this that we're falling behind. And I think the proposition is that we're not going to get to the answer. This amendment in and of itself doesn't put any more money in.
Thank you for saying that.
But I don't think we're going to get to the point of having a rational discussion about how we get the money in until people have confidence that it's going to, in fact, go where it's supposed to go.
Okay.
I mean, that's really, I think, the biggie.
Yep.
Amendment or no amendment, we still have these, we've got to deal somehow with this growing gap between our eyes being bigger than our stomachs in terms of road needs, and meanwhile the revenue is actually declining.
Well, prior to the primary and prior to the November 4 election, I've interviewed more than 230 candidates. Some of them, only a few, say we ought to scale back. Our eyes should no longer be as big as redoing the Zoo Freeway and all these major projects. Is that an answer, Craig?
Well, I think if you look at
that's not many candidates, but a few do say that.
Right. I think you have to look at it on a case-by-case basis. I mean, anytime we're expending those kinds of funds, it should be scrutinized, absolutely. The ones that are out there right now, I think have gone through quite a long process. I would argue that East-West by Miller Park, to rebuild that at exactly the same footprint as we're doing now, would not be a prudent use of taxpayer dollars. To build a brand new bottleneck, it's operating at, you know, level D right now. And while we're doing that inconvenience, while we're spending that amount of money, the incremental cost of that additional lane is another 11%.
Do you like the double-decker?
We don't have a position on the double-decker. That is an expensive proposition.
Mayor Barrett does not like the double-decker.
I know, and there's a lot of folks that don't, and it is expensive. Now, there's some safety arguments on the other side. There's the city of West Dallas that is very concerned about the Hawley Road exit.
Yes.
Would be gone without the double-decker, and Johnson right. Controls and other businesses wouldn't have access there.
Right.
So there's always a lot of things that go into these decisions, but I think that one, you can absolutely see both sides of, that it's expensive.
You've got research materials, but before you get to them,
yeah.
I want to ask you this. Didn't the Alliance in a newsletter say the toughest issue in the next budget, 2015-2017, is going to be transportation
funding? Yeah, we put out a 7-8 page magazine in the summer. We do this before every gubernatorial election that lists 5, 6, 7 issues that we think are going to be important. We try to give people a sense on both sides of the issue. And the lead was transportation.
Right.
As you mentioned, you can't move $400 million plus from the general fund and borrow close to $1 billion and do that, budget after budget after budget, when we know that Medicaid has been pretty much eating alive the last couple of general fund budgets, and it's not going to be any different this time around.
GPR for Medicaid has doubled in the last 5 years. But go ahead, give us your.
There's an interesting thing here. I mean, an economist would call this asymmetric, in that the revenue can go away, but we don't necessarily see the consequences of that for a while. We don't stop to think that the costs of, in the metro Milwaukee area, of road quality diminishing is costing on average $700 a year to people in terms of vehicle maintenance and upkeep and so forth. So there's the personal consequence.
Is that a regional number, Todd? That's a fascinating
If
you drive a car in the Milwaukee metro area, say it again.
Well, it comes from some research from 2012, 2013 that we stumbled across that said that Milwaukee's overall street road quality was less than some other large cities, and that on average it was costing them something like, you know, $700 million.
$700 per vehicle.
And it was a trip
tires,
report.
Shocks, yeah. things like yeah. that.
Do you, okay. But here's something bigger to think about. If you look at manufacturing, trucking, and agriculture, all three of which, in terms of the Wisconsin economy, rely disproportionately on the transportation system, you're talking about almost one in four wages in the state. So if, compared to, by the way, about 12% nationally. So we're twice as dependent in our major employer sectors than other states. And then if you start getting into questions like, well, I don't have access to my plant, or I don't have access to my farm, or we're a trucking company and it's just costing us too much to run trucks through Wisconsin. That has consequences, because now you're talking about one in five jobs, close to one in four wage dollars.
Well, he is saying what your organization says on its website. You have Transportation Truths, is it number 10 or 8 or something?
We're at 8 right now. There's going to be 10.
Okay. But your first one is, why transportation matters, because there is no point in making it if you can't move it. Just like he said, secondary, because Wisconsin's manufacturing jobs are first or second in the nation.
Second.
We go back and forth with Indiana. Second point, how am I doing?
You're doing great.
Oh,
keep
okay.
going.
Transportation truth number two, more than 77,000 Wisconsin farms rely on getting their product and getting the stuff they need to grow on the transportation mm-hmm. system.
Mm-hmm. We haven't talked about tourism yet.
We haven't talked about tourism.
Yeah.
Well, I'm struck, though, let's go back just for a second to the language. Revenues generated by use of the state transportation system. Is that deliberately broad to allow anything?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, if it's generated, you know, for example, currently the gas tax and vehicle registration fees would fit that bill.
Okay.
But I think if there's a user fee type system that's being charged for the use of the system, that it should be deposited into the fund and be administered by the Department of Transportation.
Okay, Todd, you baited me. Tourism is what, a $5 billion?
$11 billion.
Dollars.
And, you know, you look at, there's about 12 counties in this state where tourism is over 5% of the total income of that county. Okay. So, I mean, it's not insignificant. And most of them are in the north, which already has problems in terms of declining school enrollment, retarded population growth, employment.
All of which we can do future newsmaker shows on.
But it's another reason I think you'll see the tourism in the Dells all feel very strongly about that I-3990 corridor project for that reason as well.
If the TV ad time is all being bought up by the political candidates, how is this amendment getting pushed, Craig?
Well, you know, that's a great point. Because I think we are in such a good place with the public, I mean, back in 2010, 54 counties in the state put an advisory referendum question asking whether people would support constitutional amendment. That passed in every single one of those counties, 70% margin. We've done polling more recently. It's still at those numbers. So we feel pretty good about it. So it's really been a grassroots effort. There has been no television buys. We've got some radio up and some billboards and things. But generally trying to work through shows like yours in the media and just going out and meeting with groups to make sure. We believe as long as people are aware that it's going to be on there, that the majority of people will vote yes.
But when I go through the crosstabs on the Charles Franklin polls, yes, a good transportation system is a valued part of our culture, but do you want the gas tax, which hasn't been increased since 2006, to go up? Do you want our registration fees? Hasn't been increased since 2008. Majority say no.
Well, that's the great Wisconsin conundrum for the last 100 years, which is we love public services,
yes.
but we don't like to pay for them. So, I mean, it's the same with, we want the best schools, but we don't want a higher state income tax or a higher local property tax.
And so, I think what you'll find is, if generally in this entire country, I would say, if you ask people, do you want X, Y, or Z tax raised for a general purpose, the answer will be no. But if you look around the country, when there's been referenda for transportation where they know exactly where the money's going to go and they agree with the need, they pass overwhelmingly. So I think part of the challenge is transparency and explaining to people where those dollars are going to go, what we're going to do with it. And then you're not asking it in a vacuum. I'm not saying you're going to jump up to 90%, but I think you change the value that people place on it when they know where that money's going to go rather than just asking it in a vacuum.
You seem to be saying, Craig, and correct me if I'm wrong, if this constitutional amendment passes, you will have a foundation laid for the elected officials, those elected on November 4, to really come up with a solution and not punt and not bond again for another two-year cycle, correct?
Yes, and I think not just on how they're going to raise the money, but as Todd talked about, where they're going to spend it. I think they're going to have to tell people, I mean, we've got a lot of, when we talk about ag, that's town roads, that's county highways, where those things are going to go. When we talk about some of that manufacturing, when Todd was referring to, access to highways is the number one or number two most important reason for site selectors in the country when they're looking. Labor costs and access to highways have been the top two reasons out of, 50 or 100 things that they list when deciding when to locate or when to expand.
Okay.
So I think we need to lay out a plan of not only how we're going to raise it, but what we're going to do with that money.
Well, forget about the label DNR, Democrat or Republican, but isn't this the definition of leadership, providing some recommendations and taking some tough votes to close this projected transportation fund deficit, Craig?
Yes.
Well, then I have a question. As a DART voters then, shouldn't they be entitled to know how whoever is elected governor on November 4, what recommendations they're going to make? Because I put the question to both Governor Walker and Democrat Murray Burke, and they both say they're not ready yet. So is it just me that's a frustrated voter? I'd like to know what the next governor is going to recommend. What? Give me the context.
Well, I think we've gotten to the point politically that all of us are frustrated across the spectrum in a lot of these things. If someone decides to go first and say that they're going to raise money in a certain way, it just allows the other team to just shoot at them and run ads and place those up. So I wish I had a better answer to figuring that out, but I think that goes way beyond just transportation.
Mm-hmm. Well, but let's look at what they have put out there on the public record. Governor Walker said, I'd like to consider a sales tax on gasoline and getting rid of the gas tax. Is that workable? You've been involved in this issue for many years.
We'd really have to see what it's going to actually mean. I think there's other states around the country that have done some things that are similar to that. So I would say I think it could be, yes.
And is it wise public policy?
Well, it could be. If you're going to just do a trade, some kind of sales tax for a gas tax, it's important to remember that in the governor's case, there is a little bit of needle threading going on because he's not necessarily advocating any kind of new money. He's just saying, well, maybe we should have another kind of tax source that might grow a little bit more in the future. Now, if you to be really intellectually honest, you could just say, well, let's reindex the gas tax and get the same result. Although I have to say I find it interesting that this state has an unbalanced tax system, high property, high income, low sales. Governor Walker says, I don't want to talk about that.
Right.
We're never going to raise the sales tax to lower the income or sales.
We're never going to broaden the sales tax.
Yeah, but now we're talking about it.
Yes, but Mary Burke says all options are on the table, which doesn't preclude anything, except she did tell me, I don't like the report the vehicle miles traveled to the DOT every time they send me my bill, because she called that big brother-ish.
I don't want to get into that, but the technology in that area is moving so fast, and Craig would know this better than I, that there are ways to really deal with transportation funding in more of a, as we would an electric utility or gas or water or whatever. And I think we're going to come to that sooner or later. And I think we can protect people's privacy. It may be a while.
A device on our car?
But I'll tell you.
To tell the DOT?
Let me tell you.
Well, there's ways. I drove 20,000 miles last year?
There's ways around it.
Okay.
I have been giving speeches around the state, and I've been, for fun, asking the audiences, how many of you have iPasses? there isn't a single speech I've given anywhere in the state where at least one hand hasn't gone up. And I'll tell you, when you get south of like Stevens Point, mm-hmm. a third, a half of the room, maybe more, you get the closer you get to the border, the more hands go up. So, yeah,
and
me too. Well, nobody wants to pay twice what they're charging people with iPasses in Illinois. So in some ways, I think the public is, as usual, ahead of the politicians.
Okay. I do think there is a lot of people that are very concerned about the Big Brother aspect of vehicle miles traveled. I would argue that most of those people are our age or older. I think for
the
younger
millennials,
people, I think they're posting things on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram every day that, you know, would probably make us, I don't think that's the same consideration for them as it is for some of us.
But you and I have seen the stories. The millennials are buying fewer cars. They're more opting for public transit. And public transit, that's part of the mm-hmm. umbrella that your organization
sure.
represents. Yeah. When I interview legislators from Milwaukee, they want a regional transportation association, mm-hmm. RTA back.
Yep. So do we.
Is that, okay, so that's yeah. going to be part of the dialogue over the next 2 years?
I mean, we think that, you know, you really don't get any more conservative than the principle of letting locals decide. Go to a referendum, and if they get together and say we want to fund a local transit system at a certain level, we think they should have the ability to do that.
Okay. So let's talk about timing. What intrigues me here is we asked Secretary Gottlieb to join the panel. His organization says it's a major political decision whether this passes. The Secretary will not join the panel and sit here. But when is DOT going to, and in the same email they said DOT's proposed budget has not yet been proposed. Mm-hmm. So when does that happen? November 5, excuse me, the day after the election, Greg?
Well, I think the DOT budgets have, for quite a few years now, have come in later because they've got to wait on federal numbers to come in. But I do think they're hoping for sometime in November.
Well, the big operative date, as you know, is November 20th.
Yes.
Because the statutes say we got to put out revenue estimates and we have to put out agency requests. And in order to add up all the numbers, you need all the agencies. By the way, on another subject, there will immediately will be screams of billion-dollar deficits. And I would urge everybody to just ignore all that because they're agency requests.
Yes, I understand. Well, so Secretary Gottlieb is going to fold into his next budget recommendations, which he will then send to the governor, a way to deal with the long-term deficit problem, correct? And then your organizations like yours are going to decide whether you like it or just say, it's a solution, pass it.
Well,
how's it going to play out?
That's what we've heard the governor say is, and I think he's directed the DOT to come up with some ways to fill that. And so, yeah, we'll have to wait and see it, and then we'll react to it.
Do you anticipate a much different reaction if Mary Burke is elected?
Proposal?
To any recommendation from DOT and Mark? Secretary Gottlieb.
Boy, I don't even know how that works.
Well, I think what would happen is DOT would just go ahead and forward.
Still forward.
Send that over to DOA.
Yeah. Now, because there's not going to be a new cabinet until much later. And, you know, the first term days of a new governor are very chaotic. First they have to find out where the capital is, to exaggerate. So I think, agency requests will go ahead and come out. And then, you know, if it's a new governor, they'll go through all the briefings that new governors go through. Usually what they end up is they ask the legislature for some leeway in proposing the budget
later.
Yeah,
we're going to submit in February instead of January.
Well, or late February instead of early February.
Yeah, I mean, I would think if I was a new governor coming in and I had departments submit things. I mean, I obviously hadn't been involved in that process up to that point. So, you know, it's obviously going to hit you a little bit differently until mm-hmm. you get a chance to look at everything.
But you're satisfied that both the governor and Democrat Mary Burke know that one of the major problems out there, one of the major problems to be solved is a long-term funding without another $991 million bonding, right, gentlemen?
From everything I've heard them say, I think the answer is yes.
Okay, then final question, just really easy. Craig, you're going to vote for this constitutional amendment. Why?
Because we want to restore the trust with the public and the user fee system so that we can have a good dialogue about how we fund our transportation systems.
You're going to vote for it?
I'm not going to answer the question, but I am going to say one thing for the that I think people should know is there are people that are against this. And one of the reasons is that they feel that there should be flexibility, that we should be able to take money from the transportation fund when there's some kind of fiscal crisis. Now, you can agree with that or disagree with that, but there are some people making that argument.
And you're going to opt for the you're going to opt for the sanctity of the ballot box and not say how you're going to vote?
There's a transparency argument and a flexibility argument, I think.
Okay, very good. Craig Thompson, Todd Berry, thanks so much. There is an amendment on your ballot November 4, and we've tried to explain it. Thank you, gentlemen, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.